So what's the solution? Well, you probably worked out that if a lot of the source of the problems is letting the kids in the classroom when they're out of control, it's at this point here, at the door, that we need to take control. It's at this point that we need to position ourselves as an authoritative leader. It's at this point here that we need to set the tone for the lesson so that the kids are ready to listen to our instructions and ready to enter that classroom under our control. You see, a lot of teachers feel that classroom management is what happens inside the classroom. And that's why this is a often forgotten little used strategy, because they forget that classroom management actually takes place outside the classroom too. It's outside the classroom that relationships are built. It's outside the classroom where you set the tone for the rest of the lesson so that they enter that classroom under your control, ready to follow instructions. But the way we do this, the way we take control at the door, is absolutely crucial. Because if you're shouting at them and yelling at them and screaming at them or barking orders at them or reading the riot act in the corridor, you're likely going to make your job of getting them settled to work even more difficult for yourself, for two reasons. Teachers that shout and yell and scream at kids tend to get very little respect. Deep down, students are not going to give their best work to a teacher they don't respect. Secondly, as I've said earlier, some students are just going to ignore you when you shout at them. So you're going to get the situation where students are entering the classroom already having made up their mind that they're not going to listen to you. There's no point in listening to you. They're completely ignoring you. And that's going to make the job of getting them to do as you ask very, very difficult. So a much better way is to settle them down gradually. We've got to gradually move them into a state where they are much more likely to listen to what you're saying, much more likely to do as you ask, and therefore much more likely to settle down to work when you tell them to do so. Very importantly, they're going to be moving into this classroom on your terms, following your acceptable rules for appropriate behaviour. And the way we do that is, I need my red pen for this bit. Firstly, by making non-confrontational statements, and two, with a little bit of informal chit chat, which I'll explain in a moment. Okay, first of all, non-confrontational statements. What do I mean by that? Well, confrontational statements are those where you're talking about the things that are going wrong. You're accusing students for doing things wrong. You're blaming them for doing things wrong. You're talking about the behaviours that you don't want to see. So it's things like, Paul, why are you always late? Or Carly, why are you always making so much noise? You two, stop fighting. You, get lined up against the corridor. We're talking about things that we don't want to see, and it basically just reinforces that behaviour and sets a very negative tone for the rest of the lesson. Non-confrontational statements are reinforcing the things that we do want to see. So it's reminding students about the things that they are doing right and encouraging others to do it right as well. So Paul, thanks very much for being on time. I see you've got a pen as well. Brilliant. Let's have you lined up quietly with everyone else. Brilliant. What a great group. We've got all this lot lined up perfectly. We're just waiting for a few more to line up as well. Carly, I'm so pleased that you've settled right down. You look as if you're ready to come in and start work. Thank you very much. Those sorts of statements are going to reinforce those behaviours that we do want to see. Now, secondly, we've got informal chit-chat. And there's no doubt that teachers who are comfortable chatting with their students outside the classroom, in the bus queue or at break time, in the corridors, tend to get much more respect from their students and tend to find students responding much more positively to them. So you need to be able to chat with your students comfortably outside the classroom. It's also a great time to divide and conquer. So rather than trying to address the whole group at once, you're just moving through small groups and chatting to small groups and individual students. Now, if you're not comfortable chatting with your students, and you really need to be, you need to get into kid culture. Start watching the films they watch. Start watching the TV programs they watch. Look at the fashions. Look at the jokes, the humor that they're into. And then you're down on their wavelength. You can't expect them to come up to your wavelength. You've got to get down to theirs if you want their respect. So a teacher who stands po-faced and can't chat with those students isn't going to get the same level of respect as someone who can get down to their level. Now, you'll find that when you follow this process of non-confrontational reminders about what you do want to see and a little bit of informal chit-chat, you very quickly see this group start to settle down into a more manageable frame of mind. And you'll then find it much easier to get them to listen to your instructions when you do want to get them to start work. Now, in the next video, I'm going to show you a way of getting them from here into the classroom and sat down, actually working straight away with minimal fuss and with minimal fighting. And I'm also going to show you how we deal with those students who don't settle down straight away and don't follow your instructions. So make sure you watch out for the next video, and please, if you've enjoyed this one, please leave a comment in the box below. Okay, I'll see you on the next page.
Okay, does that make sense to lots of people?
Yeah.
I think sometimes, because you're only there for a short time.
I just believe in creating the life that you want. Take me for example, I'm a motivator, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a vibrant energy consultant, and we are here.
We don't want that one. I think sometimes because you're only there for a short time, it's not as easy to have those relationships. So you're building them quickly over a short amount of time, but you don't have the advantage that the teacher has of actually being able to, you know, spend each and every day with the kids and get to know them. So that job for you is quite difficult. How many of you have them actually line up outside? Do many people have that? They just come rushing in? Yeah. I think ours do too. It's actually something that while I was creating this over the holidays, I thought, man, I really need to talk to my scripture teachers or my classroom teachers about that, in saying kids don't just enter, they wait outside the door. And you know, when we're taking our kids in the morning or at lunchtime or whatever, we're at the front of the line, so we get them to stop and come in. When they move between classes, they are just moving a little bit crazier, and everything he says makes sense. If you don't get them to stop and calm, by the time you get them in, you're a good 5 minutes before you can actually get them to actually sit and listen to what you've got to do. And looking at your lesson plans, you don't have 5 minutes to do that. You've got to be quick. You've got to get that stuff done really quickly. So use that strategy. Have a think about how that might work. Most often, you would be coming down to the classroom that the children are going to enter into prior to the kids actually coming, hopefully. Or there might actually be, if you're really lucky, a classroom teacher in there at the same time as you. And just suggest to them, just say, could we try lining them up outside before they come in? And that way, those kids that are early, you can have a little informal chat too. You can be saying, how's your day? You know, what did you do on the weekend? Whatever it might be that you would normally chat about. And especially those children who you know are going to cause you grief as soon as you enter the classroom. So they're the ones you want to have that little informal chit-chat with that he spoke about outside the classroom before you get them in. Because in a short amount of time, which is all you have, once a week, they know how to play you. They do. They do it to people who get paid $500 a day as a casual. They know from the very start who they can and who they can't push. So as soon as you build a relationship, you break the barrier, and that devastates them. Because it's like, oh no, she cares. I didn't want her to care. I'm happy that she doesn't care, because then when I'm nasty to her, I can walk away going, yeah, it doesn't matter, she doesn't care about me anyway. As soon as you show care, ruins them. Ruins them. And then once you get inside, you can keep using that and saying, oh, you're really making me feel sad. Whoever. I'll use Joshua, because they're usually Joshuas. no one has a child called Joshua. So, you know, that kind of thing happens, and suddenly they start to have to feel empathy for you, and they hate that. They don't want to do that because they're already set to be naughty for you. I turned it off. All right, so establishing your expectations before you start the day, before you start your lesson, is really, really important. Now, most schools have a system in place called Positive Behaviour for Learning, PBL, it's sometimes referred to. You will know those schools because they'll have big signs up everywhere. They'll have signs for the classroom, signs for the canteen, signs for the office area, signs for walking around the school. All that kind of stuff will be around. We are, at my school, a Positive Behaviour for Learning school, so the whole idea is to be positive to the kids and to get positive behaviour so that their learning can make a difference. And you know yourself, with your groups of children that you have all of the time, those kids who are beautiful all of the time and listen and pay attention are your best learners. It's that simple. They are, because they're listening and they're focused and they're listening to what you're telling them. Those kids who don't have that are your worst learners. They're the ones who don't complete the worksheet because they probably don't have a clue what to do because they weren't listening when you were giving the instructions anyway. So all of that stuff impacts. So lots of places we are using a system called Positive Behaviour for Learning. It's a set program that's devised from the Department of Education, and we all implement that if we choose to. We don't have to. It's not mandatory. But setting up your own classroom rules and expectations is really, really important. Now, I don't know how many of you do that. You might just follow the school rules that they have there. The teacher may have insisted that you just use the same things. But I'm actually suggesting to you that you might just have two or three things that you really are passionate about and that you really want the kids to have. And at the end of this time, if we have some spare time, which we hopefully will, I'm actually going to let you have a think about those three rules. What are the three things that you really, really want your kids to have when they come to Scripture with you? And, you know, it might just be that you want them to sit quietly on the floor. You want them to, you know, pay attention at all times. Be respectful to their peers. I can help you with all of the wording and stuff, but sometimes it's good to take that physically with you. And I've got some paper and stuff today that you can scribble on, but I would suggest that you even set it up even a little bit more formally and have it maybe on a piece of cardboard that you take to the lesson of those really difficult classes. There are some that you might not need it for, but the difficult ones, you all have them, I can guarantee. Those difficult ones, you might just need to start your lesson by just reinforcing those behaviours that you're expecting. So establishing your expectation right from the start. So you don't get 15 minutes into the lesson and then suddenly go, you know what, enough, see you later, get out. You know, and we've all done it. I've done it numerous times in my 25 years. But, you know, I think sometimes we just need to have those visible and referred to. And sometimes you might need to refer to them again and again with particular kids. In our classrooms, we have like a large poster, a big sort of sign that's been made, and it has all of our rules. So for us, we begin the process by saying, and you might just do a little non-verbal where you just look at the person and you just go, stop it, that's enough. Then you might say, I really like the way that Joanne is sitting so nicely today, you know, to kind of make them feel like they've got to do something right, the people around them. Then you might need to say, come here. Let's have a look at the rule that you're breaking at the moment. And we physically take them and show them the rule that they're having issues with and then bring them back and say, right, now you've got another chance to get that right. Next time, you might need to leave or you might need to, you know, we have white slips and stuff like that at our schools as a further down the line process. But having them there for you to refer to and for them to refer to makes a huge difference. And we'll have a look at some of that towards the end of today. Yes, that's everything. All right, giving instructions. Now, giving instructions is a really important and not always an easy thing to be able to do because you know in your head what you want them to be able to do, but like he said in the video that he was talking about before, sometimes you've got to get down to their wavelength because they're not going to understand what you want from the simpleness that you think it is that you've told them to do. So giving instructions is not an easy thing. It's something that you get better at because you start to understand even each group that you have. Like, it's difficult. You guys sometimes have three or four groups over a couple of days or two groups in a day, and they are very, very different groups. You would know that. And suddenly, the way you give instructions to one group might be completely different to the way you've got to give it to the next. In a classroom as a teacher, you've got those kids all year, so pretty quickly you find out the group of kids that you've got to give extra instructions to or those that you can just send off after you've done the one thing, see you later. So that is something that needs to be practiced and, of course, changed and used differently in every single group that you have. So we'll just have a little look at a video again. So it's not just me. That way you believe it. It's not just me.